All right, so Keith to the City Rangers podcast, and the Rangers beat the Oilers 3-0 on Thursday night in Edmonton, get the shutout, improve to 5-2 on the season, remain undefeated on this season-long five-game West Coast, Western Canada road trip. Not the greatest effort, not the greatest game from the Rangers, pretty sluggish start to the game again for them. They can't really, you know, outside of Buffalo and I guess the opening minutes in Columbus, maybe you want to throw in Seattle there. They've just kind of been sluggish in the first period. Don't really find their game until the first intermission going into the second period. That's usually when they start to play their game. That's usually when they start to take over. And that was kind of the same story again in Edmonton on Thursday. They come out not really generating offense, relying on big saves from Jonathan Quick, who got the start because of his familiarity with the Western Conference, because of his success against the Oilers. He goes out there, plays extremely well, 29 save shutout. He's allowed one goal now in three games and two starts, quieting all the critics from the preseason who, I don't know how anyone puts any stock into preseason. It's meaningless. It's guys trying to get in the groove of playing regularly, trying to get in the groove of playing a game every 2-3 days. Under a new coach, under a new system. Now, obviously, the new coach and new system doesn't necessarily matter to the goalie. But for Quick, he's in a new environment. He's got a new team in front of him. He's trying to learn a new role of being the backup after being a starter his whole career. If he gives up 50 goals in preseason, who cares? And he played as badly as you can play and still have a role on a roster. And now look what he's doing. He's been awesome. He's been awesome. He's stopped all but one shot he's faced in three games and two starts. They needed him in the first period. He was huge. He came up with some big saves, and that's kind of what they do. Again, outside of two, maybe three games, they kind of weather the storm, and they just want to keep the game close. They want to keep it, you know, 0-0, maybe 1-0. They go into the room, they come back out, and the second period is really where they begin to dominate. And that was a story again in Edmonton. They scored all three goals in the game in the second period. Adam Fox gave them the 1-0 lead in the power play. Braden Schneider halfway through the second rips one from the middle of the ice top corner. And then Alexei Lafreniere near the end of the second scores. First time in his career, he scored in three straight games. He's got 4 goals in 7 games. He had 16 goals all of last year, 19 the year before. He's been awesome. This whole team has been good. I mean, the only gripes people really have right now are that Blake Wheeler's not producing, and he just played the best game of the season for himself in Edmonton. And Barclay Goodrow, conundrum, just because of his contract. And if the biggest worries of this team are Wheeler's production and Goodrow makes too much money for his role and for his production, I'd say they're doing all right. The fact that 7 games through the season, Mika Zibanejad and Filip Hedl have 0 goals combined. If you had told me that 7 games into the season, those two have been scored yet, I would ask you, how many losses do the Rangers have? And somehow, surprisingly, they only have 2 because they're getting scoring from pretty much everywhere else. The roster's deep. It's well-rounded. The coaching staff's doing a phenomenal job, doing exactly what the last two coaches never did. You know, giving Lafreniere, giving Kaapo-Kakko top 6 playing time, getting rewarded for that, not always having to worry that one shift is going to sit them on the bench for the remainder of the game, a bad game is going to get them healthy scratched, a couple bad games is going to get them put on the fourth line. They're being allowed to go out and play the game that made them the number 2 overall pick and the number 1 overall pick. So I'm ecstatic about where the season's been to this point. And the Rangers never play well when they go to the West Coast. They never play well when they go to Western Canada. To be 3-0 on this 5-game road trip, a season-long 5-game road trip, can't ask for much more than that. No, they haven't duplicated that effort from Buffalo, but you might never see that effort duplicated. That was as good as they've played in, I don't know, 15 years. So that's the standard. We know they can get to that level. good thing, the promising thing, is that they don't have to get to that level every night and win. They can win when they're off for a period or even two, which they kind of have been. They've kind of been sandwiching okay to mediocre, sometimes bad first and third periods around great second periods. This season, they've been outscored 6-5 in the first period, and they've outscored the opposition 16-7 in the second and third periods. These last three games alone on this road trip, 8-0, they've outscored the Kraken, Flames, and Oilers in the second period. So you'd like to see them get off to a better start, like they did in Buffalo, like when they scored the opening goal in Columbus, like they did. They controlled play in Seattle. That was a strong effort. Then certainly in Calgary, it was an Igor game. You know, expected goals were heavily in favor of the Flames, but they still won. So they don't, you know, they don't have to give you 60 minutes. They can sometimes rely on Shesterkin. They can apparently rely on Quick. And they, you know, the last couple nights, I mean, in Edmonton, that could have been a 6-7, 7-0 win if not for Stuart Skinner. I mean, Rangers had odd man rushes left and right, and the Oilers are going through it right now. They've got, I think, what are they, one win in seven games. They don't have Connor McDavid, so they're going through it, and it's a good time to play them while they're going through it. Because at some point they won't be, and those will be the nights they're scoring 6-7 goals, and you want to be as far away from Edmonton as you can be when they're doing that. This Rangers season, I keep to the city, partnered with Vintage Ice Hockey, just an awesome company. They have apparel, jerseys, t-shirts, merchandise for any defunct hockey team you can think of. And if they don't have it, you can ask them. But they have hundreds of teams. They just sent me some really cool New Haven Nighthawks, New Haven Blades gear. The comfort level, the quality is so good. And like I said, they have over 100 years of defunct teams, WHA teams, AHL teams, whatever league you name it, vintageicehockey.com. Go there, check it out. Use the code KTTC for Keefe to the City. Get 15% off your order. It's great stuff, great apparel. It'll make a really good present coming up here with the holiday season. So yeah, check them out, Vintage Ice Hockey, vintageicehockey.com. And with the Rangers in the middle of this road trip, Chris Lopresti of WFAN and SNY, big Rangers fan, join me to talk about the Rangers, and it's a good time to talk to him because everything's going well right now. So let's get to it. All right, and joining me today to talk about the Rangers on their season-long five-game West Coast and Western Canada road trip, Chris Lopresti of WFAN and SNY. Chris, how's it going today?
Good, Neil. Long time no talk, man. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. It's been a while. It certainly makes these mornings after these late night games a little better when the Rangers win like they did on Thursday in Edmonton. They've won all three games on this trip so far. Usually when they head out west, whether it's the West Coast, whether it's Western Canada, doesn't usually go well. So to start this thing off 3-0, pretty surprising.
Yeah, I was going to say pleasantly surprised from a number of factors. What you just mentioned, you know, sort of years past. I think last year's trip was pretty solid. But yeah, in general, usually it's a struggle. It's a grind. And I feel like the games are a little more spaced out this time around, which is nice. Sometimes they go west and it's, you know, 3 and 4 nights and you can be a little run down, the time change, all that. But this year, you know, I looked at the schedule and I'm thinking, okay, new coach, new system, maybe there'll be some early bumps in the road and some issues kind of getting everybody on the same page. And who knows, maybe that'll be coming in short order. But they've hit the ground running. I've been really impressed. It's nice to see some structure and some discipline kind of permeate throughout the entire lineup. And it's definitely working out so far, which is nice to see.
Yeah, definitely. And I you look at this season so far in the seven games, the game against Buffalo, probably the best the Rangers as an organization have looked in, I don't know, 15 years. Like, that was the most complete, nearly flawless effort. And to set the standard so high in game one of 82 and then people expect them to duplicate that, certainly not realistic expectations. But, you know, they haven't really played that great of a game since. The game in Seattle was pretty solid. They were good in the second period in Calgary.
Right.
But they kind of have these slow starts, and they're being outscored or they're just not putting pucks on the net early on in the first period. It's really the second period, the third period as the game goes on that they get better. I don't know if they'll ever get to that level that they were in Buffalo, but certainly that's the standard. And it's good to know that they don't need to be that nearly flawless to win games like they have in the past.
Yeah, it's hard to be perfect for 60 minutes, right? You're going to have your lulls. There is an opponent and another team that's going to push back at some point. But yeah, I honestly, that opening night, I was like, wow, that caught me by surprise. Nothing you want to take too much out of the preseason. It's kind of meaningless. We know that. But I mean, there were some struggles and some issues there. Kind of like I said, okay, new coach, it's mostly the same roster, but working in a couple of new pieces. And you just figured, all right, it might take them a little while here to kind of find their game and figure things out. But it's nice that they've gotten off to this solid start and that they're not burying themselves early. And then they're going to have to go on some sort of big run down the road to kind of catch up. Now, I get it. We're a few games in, but it seems like whenever that lull is going to come or that streak where they don't necessarily play well or they're not stacking points, it seems like that's going to be a down the road thing here that, you know, out of the gate, they seem to have a pretty good feel for what the coach is asking them to do. And mind you, you know, Zibanejad hasn't really gotten going scoring yet. Filipino hasn't gotten going scoring yet. So they're kind of getting contributions throughout the lineup, which is nice. The goaltending, you know, you knew Igor was probably going to be pretty solid. Not that he's been, you know, all otherworldly yet, but, you know, Jonathan Quick didn't look good in the preseason. All of a sudden he's got a couple of wins under his belt and the shutout on Thursday night. So checking a lot of boxes, which is nice to see, especially as they're on this long road trip right now.
You bring up two good points there. The first being about preseason, like the meaningless factor of it, which maybe it's not all meaningless, but the criticism that Quick took, the criticism that Lafreniere took. Lafreniere scored in three straight games, four goals in seven games. You know, at this rate, he'll match last season's total by next month. Quick, one goal allowed in three games and two starts. It just goes to show you, like, you know, no matter what sport you're talking about, but especially hockey, like, the guys are working on things. They have a new head coach. There's a new system.
Yeah.
You know, for Quick, he's trying to learn a new role that he's never kind of been in outside of the tail end of last year. So it's good to see that those two guys who really took all the heat in late September and early October have been, you know, two of the team's top performers.
Yeah, and I like what Laviolette's doing with Quick here on the road trip, because I was actually a little surprised. I was like, oh, he didn't go back to Igor for Edmonton, and I thought about it, and it's like, okay, well, like you said, a guy who's not really accustomed to a backup role yet, he's used to playing a little bit more consistency. Long road trip, Western Conference, obviously he's got a lot of experience against those opponents. You know, he's played in that building more so than Igor has, so, you know, early on in the season, getting him a little extra work, getting him comfortable and into a rhythm is probably a pretty good move. As far as Lafreniere goes, I had somebody say to me last night after the game on Twitter, you know, oh, he's growing, he's turning into a man before our very eyes. And what I said in the response was, I hope so. If not now, probably never, you know? So right. I don't know that he's ever going to, and I know there's examples of high picks developing in that fourth year and beyond. So look, it would be great. I just, when I watch him, I haven't seen like an overly dynamic player yet. The way I've said really about him and Kako is that I think that they're solid, serviceable NHL players. I don't think that they're ever going to be, you know, elite offensive players, but they can serve a purpose. So it's good to see him get off to a good start. It helps that he's been bumped up with the guys that he's playing on the second line. People can say what they want about Panarin in the playoffs. I mean, he's a top offensive player in the regular season. So if you're playing on a line with him consistently and regularly, your production is probably going to increase because, I mean, forget what he can do as far as scoring goes. I mean, his passing ability, his vision is just insane. So it's nice to see those guys get some results early on. I know Laviolette was talking them up again last night saying they played a really good game. So, hey, take the ball and roll with it. Keep that momentum going as long as possible for Lafreniere, because I'm sure confidence has been an issue for him at times and part of the reason that we haven't seen him produce maybe at the level that was expected. So keep banking those goals and those points and getting that confidence up. That obviously can do nothing but help.
Yeah, that's a perfect assessment, I think, of Lafreniere and where he's gotten to this point. You just mentioned about him playing with Panarin. I saw something on Twitter after the game that Gallant had that trio play together for like 2 minutes and 17 seconds last year or something. So we've come a long way from those days. But, you know, a couple of minutes ago, we talked about the meaningless of preseason. You also mentioned about Zibanejad not finding the back of the net yet. Same with Hedl. If you had told me through seven games, you know, those two guys would have zero goals, I would say, how many losses does this team have? Yep. It just goes to show how much deeper and how much secondary scoring they're getting, and how good the power play has been, really, that they don't have to rely on the guys they usually do every single night.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've kind of grown to, I think, maybe take it for granted a little bit. Just, yeah, the power play will be fine. They've got enough talent, and they'll click and they'll score goals. So that part doesn't – I guess the big difference this year is that he's – Laviolette's really given the second unit more of a chance than Gallant did. We know it was heavily weighted towards that first unit. So having a little bit more balance there is nice to see. I think helpful. Maybe, hey – take the minutes down a little bit on some of their top guys and also get that second unit, those guys in a little bit more of a rhythm, feeling like they've got more of an opportunity offensively to make an impact. So those are all good things so far. I mean, there's really not a lot to criticize or not like outside of, like we just said, with some of the, you know, the lack of stats for some of their top guys, but that can happen. I think those things get magnified early in the season because it's brand new. We want to see what everybody looks like, but we're going to go through stretches over the course of 82 games where, you know, Zibanejad has a 10-game scoring drought, or same for Hedl or whoever it might be, Panarin. We throw out all the top names. You know, they're not going to score every night unless you're, you know, Jack Hughes, who just seems like he's like 2 and 3 assists a night for the Devils and is on his way to another massive points production output. But look, it's mostly the same unit as last year. There were not a ton of changes. We know that they have some good talent and some good depth, and it just, there seems to be a little bit better balance with the forward units right now. Obviously, while everybody's still healthy, an injury could change that, but you have to like what you see so far.
Yeah, and it helps when the lines stay together for more than two periods at a time. To have 7-game stretch of the same four lines, essentially, we haven't seen that in decades.
Don't fix it if it's not broke. And not to say that they're perfect and they're undefeated, but yeah, you don't want to hit that panic button or start changing things right away, especially when it's a new, you know, a new coach, a new system, and they're still learning some of those things. So I like that he's kind of stayed consistent with that and given those lines a chance to gel and figure it out and you know, find their comfort level. So I'm sure that'll change at some point. It's going to have to, there'll be a lull somewhere along the way. You got to shake things up. But it seems like, you know, even if he does that in the course of a single game or for a game or two, this seems sort of like the template that he's probably going to come back to for a while at least. So that's a good thing.
So through the first 2 weeks, anything that stands out to you? I mean, for me, it's like everything's positive. I know that there's gripes about Wheeler is not producing, Clay Goodrow is a problem, but those are like very minor issues where if the Rangers are going to get where they want to get, it's not going to be because of Blake Wheeler's production or Barclay Goodrow's play. It's going to be how the top six performs in the biggest games. To me, there's like nothing to really be concerned about at this time. You know, they're healthy. They're playing well. They're winning. They're you know, they're not giving us a complete effort every night, but they're doing enough that they can get the lead and hang on. I don't know. I feel really good about them.
Yeah, and that's usually when something bad's going to happen, right? Like, yeah, something unexpected. But no, I won't be that guy. For right now, there's really no concerns and nothing to really complain about. So I guess I've gotten to a point now where, because of the success they've had in the regular season the last couple of years, you know, you come into the season and it's like, okay, well, how do they take the next step and get back to a conference final or to a Stanley Cup final? So I think they have what they need certainly to get through the regular season, even in a tough conference and division to get into. I expect them to be in one of those top three spots in the Metro. I more so look at, okay, well, and it's a long way off, but that's where I'm at with this team. I expect them to win games and get into the playoffs. What does it look like when they get there? And I mean, you know, they were in a tough spot with the cap this offseason, so they kind of had to go shopping in the discount aisle a little bit. You know, I don't know what to make of Wheeler yet. I'm not going to go crazy about the production or lack thereof. And I know he played his best game against Edmonton right on cue, as I think people were starting to, the one guy they were looking to maybe kind of start to complain about a little bit. It's more so when I watch him and like Bonino skate and look, Bonino's been great in the faceoff. Their faceoff numbers have been outstanding, and that's been an issue for this team for God as long as I can remember. So it's nice to see them consistently, you know, come out on top as far as the faceoff percentages go. I wonder how they're going to match up in a series against these elite, really fast teams. So yes, the Rangers have some skill and some speed, but if I look up and down the lineup sort of on the bottom six as it's currently constructed, when you talk about a Wheeler or a Bonino, guys that have a lot of miles on the tires, and I get maybe they're not going to have to play big minutes, but I'm just stacking them up against a Carolina or against the Devils and wondering how that's going to look. I mean, you watched the series against the Devils, and after they found their you know, their rhythm and found their game, the Rangers, you know, just could not keep up with them. So that's where the system and the structure and what they're doing in the neutral zone right now hopefully slows some of that down. But I just wonder from a athleticism and a speed standpoint, if they're going to be able to keep up with a team like that in a best of seven. But obviously that's a long way off. We've got months to go before we're really going to get too worried about that.
All right, Chris. Well, before I let you go, Yankees off season, disastrous regular season. While I have you here, you know, what do you think is going to happen here in the next few months?
I have
obviously no real change, but
yeah, I have almost become so numb with the Yankees just because of their, I don't even know what to call it. I don't know, stubbornness now at this point, or just setting their, I mean, I was so turned off by Hal's thing with the Associated Press about, oh, well, we're going to, you know, do this big audit of our, yeah. And that was crap. You know, he alluded to these changes. There's really nothing major. It just has all the makings of, it's going to be another one of those, you kind of shrug your shoulders off seasons. Maybe they'll catch us by surprise. You know, we've basically gotten to a point where we expect nothing. Maybe they'll finally, you know, kind of rattle the cage and shake things up. I mean, look, they did spend all the money on Carlos Rodon last offseason. That was a disaster, obviously. I don't really know what to make of them. It just seems like it seems like a broken process and front office and organization right now that doesn't really know which way to go. And I think they have an owner at the top. Well, I'm not going to say he doesn't care, but it screams to, every time I hear him or listen to him talk, it seems like a guy that just is afraid to make changes because I don't think he knows what to do. And that's a scary thing. So yeah. I think Brian Cashman is sort of his blankie, his comfort, you know, his safety blanket, his comfort blanket. So the idea of making some sort of significant change there, I think, scares him. So I don't have high expectations for the offseason. I don't think it's going to be anything massive, and I think it's going to be a lot of the same. I hope to be wrong. I really do.
Do you find
Carlos Rodon, you know, gets himself in better shape and actually can pitch for the bulk of next season?
Do you find it odd that they haven't talked? I mean, they usually have their end of the season press conference, like, they're just not saying anything for a month.
Yeah, it's strange. And they even, I think it was Andy Martino who had the report about, well, they're still trying to decide how to announce that Aaron Boone's coming back. Well,
if you have to be worried about that, that's a problem.
Right. Yeah, he's under contract. Why do you, I mean, just say, you don't have to say anything. I mean, he's the manager. It is what it is. So
scary.
It just seems there's like a lot of overthinking that's going on right now over there, which is, yeah, you said, I agree, scary. Right around Halloween, that's the right term. It is scary and concerning, but I've lowered the bar so much that maybe they'll catch me by surprise, and I'll be pleasantly surprised once we get to spring training.
All right, Chris, well, thanks for taking the time to come on today. We'll have to check in again throughout the season, but great start, so great time to talk.
Absolutely. Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks to Chris for taking the time to come on and talk. Always great talking with him, whether it's Rangers, whether it's Yankees. And like I said, a great time to have a conversation with any Rangers fan about this team because it's all positive. 5 wins in 7 games. Yeah, they no-showed against Nashville. Yeah, they had a letdown in Columbus. Those are going to happen. Minimize those and you get where you are, which is where they are right now at the top of the Met. 2 games left on this road trip. Vancouver on Saturday, Winnipeg on Monday. Only one more late night start, the 10 p.m. start in Vancouver on Saturday. So I will be thankful when this ends and we can get back to some normalcy of 7 and 7:30 starts. Maybe they'll do the unthinkable. Maybe they'll pull it off, go 5-0 on this road trip. Would be quite the story given the recent history of this team going out there and what they do or don't do normally on the West Coast and Western Canada. So that'll do it for today. Rangers Canucks on Saturday, Rangers Jets on Monday. I'll be back after those games to talk about them. Thanks for listening. Talk to you on Tuesday.